ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 8th chapter, text number 10.
Abhidravati Mamisha Sharastaptaya Sovibho Kamam Dahatu Mamnatha Mame Garbho Nipat त्यताम् अभिद्रवति मामीश शरस्तप्ता यसो विभो मामं दहतु मां नाथ मामे गर्भो निपात्यताम्
अभि। Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Gita. O my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally, if you so desire, but please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor, my Lord. Purport. This incident took place after the death of Abhimanyu, the husband of Uttara. Abhimanyu's widow, Uttara, should have followed the path of her husband. But because she was pregnant, and Maharaj Parikshit, a great devotee of the Lord, was lying in embryo, she was responsible for his protection. The mother of a child has a great responsibility in giving all protection to the child. And therefore, Uttara was not ashamed to express this frankly before Lord Krishna. Uttara was the daughter of a great king, the wife of a great hero, and the student of a great devotee. And later, she was the mother of a good king also. She was fortunate in every respect.
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्यज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय विहोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदिगौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
वी आर रीडिंग द सेक्शन वेयर नाउ उत्तरास womb. The child in Uttara's womb is in danger by the Brahmastra sent by Ashwatthama. And here Uttara is running to the shelter of Krishna. Chanting the previous verse, we heard very beautiful verse, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpate Nanyam Tudavyam Pashe Yathamutti Parasparam. So Prabhupada says here how it's a duty of the mother to protect the child. She was responsible for the protection of the child. You find even Mother Yashoda is so fearful of her child Krishna. She is afraid that in Vrindavan the cows should not put their hoofs on Krishna's thighs when Krishna is sitting on the ground. Or she is afraid that, you know, the monkey should not scratch Krishna's body. Although such great devotees like the monkeys or the cows would never ever harm Krishna. But still she is fearful, as any mother is supposed to be fearful to protect her child. So the protective nature is inherently there in mother and father in this world, in every species of life, whether it be even a tiger or a lion or a cat or a dog or human being, in every body. Like you see, when a dog gives birth to a child, puppy, till then you may find the dog normally, but once the babies are born, the dogs become extremely protective. Nobody can go near. If somebody goes near, immediately the dog will try to attack them. And you can see this in every species of life. So where does this tendency to protect come from? That also comes from Krishna only. The word Bhagavan is split as Bha, Ga, Va, three words, Bhagava. Bha means the sustainer or the protector, Bha. And Ga stands for the creator or pusher. That's the meaning of Ga. And Va means the dwelling, indwelling person. From the Va word only comes Vasati. Vasa means to live, Vas. Similarly, Ga means to move. Nothing that is stagnant, that which is moving is called as Ga. Or the pusher, or the creator, or the one who brings about change, is Ga. And Bha is the source word for Bharta. Bharta means the sustainer or the protector. So, Lord is called as the protector and sustainer, the supreme protector. So naturally, in the Lord's creation also, the living entities have a protective nature also. They try to protect the dependents. As the Lord protects his dependents, the living entities also try to protect their dependents in any species of life. So that protective nature is coming from the Lord himself. But although a living entity may try to offer some kind of protection to someone, it is beyond the power of the living being to offer any protection. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purports, no one can do any benefit to the material body. Prabhupada says, no one can do any benefit to the material body. This sentence Prabhupada writes in the section of Bharat Maharaj. When Bharat Maharaj was trying to offer protection to the body of the deer, and in the name of offering protection to the deer, Bharat Maharaj had become careless of his spiritual regulative principles and duties. And in this way, he had led to his own downfall. But there Prabhupada is writing that no one can offer any protection to the mental body of others. What is weak of others? Even one's own body one cannot protect. No one can offer any protection to others. It's impossible. We can see, even what is weak of ordinary personalities offering protection, like the mother and father offering protection to a child, or a king offering protection to citizens. Like you find the example of Arjuna, once came to hear a Brahmana speaking many harsh words at the king Ugrasena. The Brahmana would come up to the palace doors and he would shout every time when he would beget a child and he would lose the child. Child was dead. So he said, the greedy king who is duplicitous in nature, because of him I am losing all my children, one after another. So he called the king as a duplicitous king and greedy king. Why? Because under the rule of that king, the Brahmana's children were dying, one after another. So this goes to show, the king is supposed to be the protector of all the living beings, all the praja. He is supposed to protect them. In fact, there are many things said in the scriptures. If a king is a righteous king, there should not be any akala mrityu. Akala mrityu means before the death of the father, the son should not die. And there should not be famine or drought. There should be abundant water supply. There should be abundant grains. The woman should never be mistreated by anyone. The cows should never be mistreated or killed. And the Brahmana should never be caused any nuisance by anyone. So these are all actually symptoms of ideal kingdom. And here the Brahmana found that my sons are dying before me. That means the king is not righteous. So he went to the king and he shouted at the king. So 9 children had died like that. And now Arjuna was standing observing this. He told the Brahmana, Brahmana, please do not speak such harsh words. I am here to protect your child. Now no more children will die in your house. And then Arjuna came to know that the next child is going to be born. So he came to the that one should not become attached in this world to offering protection to anyone else, because that thought of offering protection to others may take our attachment from the Supreme Lord. Our attachment should be for Krishna, attachment should not be for somebody else. So, whenever such attachments are being spoken in Bhagavatam, immediately there is a philosophy being explained about how that attachment is useless. There is an example in 7th canto of the queens who were all weeping when their king passed away. In fact, it is said if people are weeping for a long time near the dead body, then the soul will not leave that body and go away. The soul will be hovering over the body. You know, soul will be waiting to again re-enter the body, although it cannot re-enter. Soul will be wandering like a ghost. So Yamaraj noticed it, and then he felt pity for this queens, and he wanted to teach them a good lesson. So he came in the form of a small boy, and because a small child can go anywhere and everywhere, there is no restriction for a small child. And also when a small child speaks philosophy, everyone wants to hear. Even the same simple philosophy, if a small child is speaking, people are eager to hear. So Yamaraj purposefully took the role of a small boy. And then he came there, and all the queens were all weeping around the body of their dead husband. So he spoke great philosophy. So he was telling here the beautiful verse which he said, very sensible, very meaningful verse. He said, Aho vayam danyatamaya datra tyakta pitrubhyam navichintayamaha abhakshyamana avalabhrukadibhi sarakshita rakshati yohi garbhe. Sarakshita, that Supreme Personality of Godhead will protect. Rakshati yohi garbhe, one who protects the child in the garbha or the womb of the mother. The very same Lord will protect us at all circumstances. And there is no use to depend on anyone else for protection. He is saying, Sarakshita, Chakshati Yohi Garbhe. That's the main keyword here. So he is saying, Aho Vayam, Dhanyatamaya Datra. He is telling, oh queens, although I am a small baby, small boy, child, I consider myself very fortunate. Why so? Takta Pitrubhyam. I have been left alone, left away by my mother and father, and I don't have mother or father to protect me. And there is no one to care for me, he is saying. I am all alone. But still you see, although I am a small child, abhakshyamana abala vrika adibihi. Vrika means the tiger and other animals like the foxes and jackals in the forest. They have not caused any harm to me till now. Although I am only a small boy. Abhakshyamana means they have not eaten me up. Although I am only abala. I am vulnerable and I am tender and I have no one to protect me. Why? How am I protected? He is saying, Sarakshita Rakshati Yohi Garbe. Because the very same Lord who offers protection in the womb for a child, the very same Lord is there to protect me. And I have that conviction, he says. So I have nothing to worry or fear. So this verse teaches how one should know that the ultimate protection is offered by the Lord and there is nothing to worry in this world. As we say, Marek Krishna Rakike, Rakike Krishna Marek. If one is to be killed, one will be killed. If one is to be protected, one will be protected. In fact, he tells the story of a Kulinga bird. The Kulinga bird's bird had lost his wife and the father bird. He was watching at all the tender children birds. The children birds are all very, very abala, very, very vulnerable and innocent. And he felt pity for them. How will they be protected without their mother? So here Yamaraj says that it is foolishness to worry about that because in this world many people seem to be needing protection. It seems that there is no one to protect them and there is a kind of sympathy that awakens in our heart. But still one has to know that no one can offer protection to them except the Lord Himself. That is why in the I was telling about the Bhagavan, the Lord is by nature the protector. And how He is the protector of His devotees is even more specifically explained. You know, out of the 10 items of 10 items that are explained in Bhagavatam, like Sarga, Visarga, Sthana and all that, the Poshana word is specifically used for devotees. It's not for all living entities. See, a king also gives protection and sustenance and maintenance of all the living beings. He has all the praja, all the people in the society. But king gives very specific attention and love and care for his own prince or princess, children. He pays more attention to them. So, for example, a king may give charity of cows or, you know, gold or silver to the people visiting the palace. But then what does he do with his own prince or with his own son? He gives even more love, more attention. He not only gives the material facilities for him, but he gives even care, love, attention additionally. Like that, it is said, the Lord offers special protection to his devotees by giving himself to his own devotees. So that is why it is said the Lord protects devotees directly and he protects the other living entities indirectly. Like, just like the government also provides for the citizens in the jail by giving them food, clothing, shelter, medication and all that. But that protection is not to be compared with the kind of love and care that the Prime Minister may give for his own child, his wife, his children. It's much different from that. So, that is very important to know, that the Lord offers protection to his devotees in a very even more personal way. In fact, the Lord says in the scriptures that I personally instruct my devotees by being situated in their hearts, the way by which they can come back to me. Those who are sincere devotees, I personally instruct them. Sometimes I personally orchestrate their life in such a way. I offer protection to my devotee by taking away everything they have. Yasyahamana grihnami harishyeta dhanamshanai. God says, if that's what means protection for my devotee, I will do that. If my devotee becomes proud of his wealth, then I take away his wealth so that he can come rushing to my lotus feet and take my shelter. If my devotee finds shelter in his relatives, friends, position, possessions, fame and name, then I take away all these things. So, helplessly being cursed by all people of the world, ultimately my devotee takes my shelter very firmly. Just like you see Bali Maharaj, he had great possessions. The whole universe was under his clutches. And he was being worshipped by all his dependents and subordinates. He was being glorified by all the sages and everyone. Constantly was worshipped by everyone. And he was getting a sort of pride, false pride. And Lord came as Vamanadeva and took away everything. Yasyaham manigrihnami harishyeta dhanamchanai. Then Bali completely took shelter of the Lord. And that is how the Lord offered protection to Bali Maharaj. So, Lord says, I offer protection to my devotee in a very personal way. That means I don't allow my devotee to be naughty or be mischievous or go in a wrong path. I offer protection to my devotees personally. Although my protection is for all living entities in general, the protection that I offer to my devotees is even more very special. That is why great devotees like the Pandavas, knowing this fact, they always depend on the Lord. Although they have the power to protect themselves to a great extent, actually there are different types of protections. Like you see, when Prithu Maharaj was declared the king of the whole universe, many people offered him different kinds of protection, different kinds of facilities. Like, you know, Varuna Dev, he offered him an umbrella which was constantly drizzling very fine particles of water, so one feels very fresh. He offered him that umbrella. And Vayu, he offered him the chamar to Prithu Maharaj. And Lord Vishnu offered his own chakra. And Lakshmiji, she offered abundant fortune and wealth. And Saraswati offered a transcendental necklace. Like this, different people are offering different things. And Yamaraj, he offered a rod, chastising rod, for punishing the mischievous citizens. At that time, Brahma offered a garment of spiritual knowledge or transcendental knowledge, Brahma Vidya, he offered him. So, Brahma Vidya is also considered protection or the transcendental knowledge. That is also one kind of protection. There are also special mantras which are called as protective armors, like Narayana Kavach shield. That is also a kind of protective armor, which offers protection from evil forces. So in this world, there are many protective agents available, like the mystic yogis. They can actually conceal their body in any place they want and protect it. They can put their body in a cave and they can close the cave with a stone so nobody can harm the body. And they can leave the body and go to another body also. They can do such things. But even great mystic yogis like Durvasa Muni, despite having such powers to protect their body, they were in danger. Like you find Durvasa Muni running away when he offended Ambarish Maharaj. He could not protect himself. In fact, none of the demigods could offer protection to him. After running in all of the universe, even Lord Vishnu ultimately told him that you have to go to Ambarish to take a shelter. So, you can see in this world, from smallest creature to the biggest living entities like Brahma, nobody has the ability to protect themselves. And the Lord's protection that is ensured by the Lord is illustrated all over the scriptures in different circumstances, different situations for his devotees, so that the living entities can become sane in taking his shelter only and not anyone else's shelter. So the Purana has explained that different people tried protection themselves and they couldn't, and at last they took shelter of the Lord, and Lord only could protect them. So this is all taught so that ultimately one may go to the Lord for protection. Prahlad Maharaj talks about how mother and father cannot protect a child, how medicine cannot protect a patient. Why such things are explained? The goal of such explanations is that one should not endeavor for protection from any other shelter. Oh doctor, save me. Oh police, save me. Oh military, save me. No, none of them can offer protection. Military or the police force or the doctor, all these people are fallible soldiers. Asat Sainya. None of them can offer protection. Lord alone can protect. In the Vedic Varnashrama, it is explained, for an irresponsible fool, he is trained how to develop attachment to wife, attachment to mother and father, attachment to children. And they have developed attachment. First, the Shastras insist that one should have attachment to relatives and friends. And one should perform duties responsibly towards them. Like protecting mother and father, and protecting wife and children. It's very important for a man. And that is very much stressed in the scriptures. But once a person develops such attachment and offers them protection and everything, one is performing duties, then one is trained how one should gradually transfer that attachment to the Supreme Lord, from the relatives and friends to the Supreme Lord. Like here you find, talk is going on about the duty of the mother to protect the child. You heard of the story of Solomon. There was a very wise king called as Solomon. So two mothers came to him claiming that the child was theirs. So the king was wondering, both of them were adamant. They both wanted the child. They both claimed that this is my own child. You know what he did? So then he called the soldiers and said, you cut this child into two and give half off to each of the mothers. So immediately he saw the response of the mothers. So one mother said, yeah, that is a good idea. Okay, give me half the child. The other mother cried and said, she said, no, better give the child to her. I would rather see the child alive and happy with her rather than see the child cut into two halves. Then Solomon said, this is the real mother. Then he told the soldier to hand over the child to this mother and punish the other lady who was falsely claiming to be the mother. So here you find, based on the mother's attachment to the child, Solomon could come to the conclusion. He could understand who actually owns the child. That means the mother's attachment to the child is a principle which cannot be denied. It's a very deep-rooted principle. Here you find Uttara also attached to her child and wanting to protect the child. But it is very important to understand here, what she says here. Let it burn me personally. The fiery arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally, if you so desire. But please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Here we see the selfless love of Uttara. She is ready to die. She is not afraid of her life. Like the Bajabasis, when they were going and praying to Krishna, when the showers of Indra were sent, that time the Vajrasis, they were more worried about the cows and calves. They thought that the cows and calves will be killed. So they were seeking protection of the cows and calves rather than their own protection. Similarly, here you find Uttara concerned about the protection of the last Shishu of the Pandava race, that is Parikshit Maharaj. She wanted to protect that child, because Parikshit is going to be not only the king of the world, but he is going to be instrumental in the Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken. So Bhagavatam is going to be spoken to Parikshit Maharaj at the end of his life, and he is going to be the king of the whole world. In those years, the kings used to be very worried if they don't have an issue, if they don't have a child. Nowadays people worry if they don't have a child, because others will ask them, why you don't have a child, isn't it? Generally people may consider a woman barren or a man impotent if they are unable to beget a child. So one may worry because of that, because people may think that you have no ability to beget a child. But in the Vedic times, that was not of so much concern. Why were the kings worried about a child? Because they should be able to take up the rule of the world and offer protection to the citizens. That was their main worry, just like Chitraketu is worried that I don't have a son. So the son is considered the greatest wealth in a family, because he is going to continue the dynasty and offer protection to the citizens. So this is also keeping in reference the welfare of all the citizens, especially the spiritual welfare. Because without an ideal king, the citizens cannot tread the path of religion. It's not possible. Like you see, Yudhishthira Maharaj is hearing all the reports spoken by the Brahmanas about Parikshit Maharaj. What are the great activities, deeds that this son is going to do, this grandson is going to do. He's hearing all that. So they are telling many, many things, how he will be the protector of religious principles, and all that is explained. And then at last the Brahmanas also explain that Parikshit will be killed by a snake bird called Takshaka. And it seems that Yudhishthira is not paying so much attention to that. He heard that the Parikshit will be killed by a snake bird. If any of us were to hear about our own Jyotish, our own horoscope or our relative's horoscope, probably that will be the most prominent thing we will remember. And why so and so should die like this? Why my dear, near and dear should die like this? Is there any way, anything I can do by which I can save their life? Correct? That will be our next question. But you find Yudhishthira Maharaj not asking any question. He is very happy that Parikshit is going to live an ideal life of religious principles. That's what we want. I want to know how he will live. I am not very keen to know how is he going to die, because everyone has to die in this world. So what is of greater concern? Is he going to live a religious life or a vicious life? What kind of life is he going to lead? Same way, Uttara is concerned here that her Shishu, which is going to be the ruler of the world in the time to come, that has to be protected. And Parikshit is also a great devotee of Lord Krishna. So she wants to protect him, and for that she is ready to die herself. And she is ready to leave her body. She doesn't demand her protection here. So it is explained in Bhaktirasam Sindhu. Body. If a devotee is offering prayers to Lord, seeking protection of his body, still that is not outside the purview of pure devotional service. It is said. Even offering prayer to Lord, because the devotee generally does not offer prayer to the Lord asking for good health or protection of the body or anything like that. But suddenly sometimes the occasion may warrant, or the situation, there may be a sudden situation in which a devotee may rush to the feet of the Lord for protection. Like the Vajvasi is going to the shelter of Krishna for protection, and Krishna left at the Govardhan hill. Or Uttara here, offering prayers for protection. Or you find Draupadi offering prayers of protection of her man. So these prayers are actually, or Gajendra offering prayers to Lord Vishnu when he was firmly caught by the crocodile. So in such occasions, it's very important to know that these prayers are not offered for any material benedictions. These prayers are not offered to enjoy any material benedictions. Not that one wants to enjoy wealth, enjoy opulences like gold, silver, palace, when one is in a normal condition. These prayers are actually offered at the time when one's life is at danger. But a devotee is more concerned about not forgetting Krishna when there is a loss of life, when one is going to leave his pran, when one is going to leave his body, just like prana prayana samiye kapavata pitta, Kurushakara is saying, I should not leave my body without your remembrance. If I am going to leave my body now, oh Krishna, save me, let me remember you. So a devotee is more concerned about remembering the Lord at the time of death than even in protection. And such a devotee, for such a devotee, it is very natural to pray to the Lord for protection at all times, whether it's good times or bad times, whether there's fair weather or unfair weather. Devotees are not like fair friends. They only make friendship with the Lord when the time is fair, or only when they go to the Lord only when there is danger. But all times you find devotee is taking shelter of the Lord. At good times, like Ambarish Maharaj, you know, after the incident took place, then everything was restored to normalcy, and Ambarish Maharaj was almost at the stage of retirement. And he was very enthusiastically taking retirement. He wanted to go to the forest and do more devotional service. And seeing this, one may wonder, one may tell Ambarish, why do you have to, you know, endeavor more? You are already a pure devotee. Lord's chakra is there with you for offering your protection. Lord Vishnu has already sent a chakra to offer your protection. In fact, in your life, you have proved to the world that you are a pure devotee. When Durvasamuni was defeated in his purpose, and he offered obeisances to you and took your shelter. And Lord also has spoken the verse, Sadhavo Hrade Mahim Sadhunam Rayan Toham. My devotee Ambarish is in my heart, and I am in the heart of my devotee. So what more have you got to achieve in your life? Is there anything more left? Somebody may say, better you stay back and enjoy the opulences of the kingdom. But Ambarish says, no. A pure devotee is greedy for surrendering to the Lord. Laulyam, apiyekala mulyam. That's the meaning of laulyam. He is greedy to take shelter, means he wants to surrender more and more and even more and even more utterly. So he always fine tunes his surrender to find out in which occasions he didn't take complete shelter. He didn't do complete surrender. He always is thinking of how I can give more. So Prabhupada gives the example there of a millionaire. Even if one becomes a millionaire, he is not satisfied. He wants to earn more money. A millionaire never says, okay, now I am rich enough, now let me take rest. No. He becomes even more greedy. So a pure devotee is greedy to take more and more shelter, he says. That means Ambarish Maharaj took shelter of the Lord even in fair times, not only in danger. That is the prerogative of a devotee. A devotee takes shelter of the Lord even when there are good times, when everything goes his way, when everything is normal. Pandavas are also like that. Pandavas were always under the shelter of Krishna. When they were in the forest, they remembered the Lord. When they became kings of the whole world, they still continued to love Krishna and serve him. Even Sudama Vipra, after he attained all the wealth, he utilized in Krishna's service, remembering him always. So, because the devotee remembers the Lord at all times, when the devotee calls for the Lord's help at the time of danger, this is not considered a blemish on the devotee. Rather, it is considered an ornament. It is not Dushanam, it is Bhushanam, an ornament for the devotee who takes shelter. And such taking shelter of the Lord by the devotee becomes a very memorable illustration in all the scriptures, the different incidents that I said. For everyone else in this world to learn how one should take shelter and how one should seek Lord's protection. In fact, a devotee doesn't believe in his own strength. He only puts faith in the Lord's strength. A devotee doesn't have confidence in himself. A devotee has confidence in the Lord. Or in other words, if a devotee has confidence in himself, that confidence comes from the Lord's protection also. Like Prabhupada also said that he has no fear of Maya. Prabhupada said, I have no fear of Maya. Why? Because he was always offering prayers to Radharani for protection. So devotee's fearlessness comes from the Lord's assurance of protection. And Prabhupada says, Lord is such a person that he is free in all respects to liberally offer protection to his devotees. Prabhupada says this in Ambarish section. The Lord is so free, no one can harm him, no one can do anything to him, no one can choke him. He is totally free and independent that he can liberally offer protection to his devotees, as he has been always doing. That's why one of the six principles of surrender talks about the raksha sthiti vishwaso, to have a firm faith in the Lord's protection. Especially in the modern times, like the days we are living now, there is a kind of threat for life everywhere. There are bomb blasts at the least expected moment. Terrorists are putting bombs. So there can be a loss of life. There can be danger. If there are no dangers in the terrorists, then the nature also doesn't cooperate, especially in the modern times. You know, we don't hear of tsunamis coming in the Vedic times. We don't hear. The nature sometimes causes such disasters, like a huge disaster, some 4 lakh people dying in tsunami or the. Of course, the Vedas mention about Ati Daivika. There is a klesha from the nature. But if the king and the praja, they are all living in accordance to religious principles, then the nature becomes totally cooperative with people. There are rains at the appropriate time, the sun is not too hot, you know, there are minerals, there is everything is available in the nature. And life is quite peaceful. But in the modern times, because modern man is going against the laws of God, we are finding so many natural disasters coming to the demigods and adibhautika from different living entities. So there is always danger from all respects. I was telling the point about how Mother Uttara, as an ideal mother, is offering protection to her child here, wanting to protect the child from Brahmastra. But Prabhupada says, as opposed to this, there are many modern mothers who want to destroy their child in their own womb, not allowing the child to see the daylight. You can see that. While even a tiger or a lion wants to protect their child, there are human mothers, Prabhupada says, who don't want to protect their child. You can see. That is the age we are living in. Not only we are having tsunamis from outside, not only having terrorists from outside, one can be in the mother's womb and the very mother can cause the death of the child, considering the child to be a tissue, and terminate the child and kill the child. Such is the dangerous age in which we are living. So certainly there are enough reasons to rush to the lotus feet of the Lord for protection, especially in this day and age. So no one can imagine or assume that we are in a very comfortable position. Certainly we are not in a very comfortable position nowadays. There are like you see the plane crash, for example. Plane crash or the automobile accidents, these are all shooting up very, very fast. That doesn't mean the automobiles are reducing. The number of automobiles are also increasing. In Pune, they are going to have almost 10 more flyovers in Pune. Pune is becoming an international airport. You all know that? It's going to become an international airport. So Pune will be like Bombay after 10 years. It's going to be very similar to Bombay. So the number of two-wheelers have increased so much that they are increasing the flyovers. So more flyovers, then more two-wheelers, and then even more. Then it will become like Bombay. You can go inch by inch, keep moving in the vehicles. So then there are more dangers also. More mechanization, more machines, more dangers. So modern man is in a situation where anytime anything can happen. Padam padam jati padam natesham. But here, Uttara is setting a wonderful example to show us how to take shelter of the Lord at the time of danger. One devotee was telling me, Bhaji, when I get misery, that is the time I cannot remember the Lord even a bit. It's impossible for me to remember Krishna. I don't know where I keep my bead bag. And also I don't know where I get my Narasingha picture. Neither do I have Narasingha picture, nor do I have bead bag. And even my mouth also Narasingha Dev Prarthana doesn't come when I am in a danger. And here we find in the scripture, whenever there is danger, people are rushing to the Lord's feet. How is it? He was asking. So I also thought about it very deeply. How can one not remember the Lord in danger? Then I found an answer in some places. Prabhupada also writes about it. You'll find in the scriptures that we think we are the controller of the situation. When there is danger, then we think, I will set right the situation myself. And we dispatch Lord Narasimhadev, dispatch Mahamantra, dispatch everything else, and we put ourselves as a controller. And we try to tackle it ourselves. You see? That is because we have not created the culture of taking shelter of the Lord in the heart. Always. So, then how can one pray, Vipatasamtita Shashwat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru? Such calamities will not help us to take Lord's shelter if we have not created that culture. So Kunti has been always taking shelter whenever there was danger. So she also is praying for more calamities in her life so that she can always remember. So when we are having fun in life, we forget the Lord. We enjoy life. And when there is danger, we go to a zone of anxiety and lamentation where we put ourselves in the role of a controller, trying to tackle the situation ourselves by all possible means. Oh, doctor, help me. Police, help me. Military, help me. Relatives, help me. Mama, papa, help me. All people help me. Oh, bank balance, help me. We take help of every other shelter except Krishna. Taking shelter of everything else. So, it's a great misfortune. Because it both in good and bad times, we are unable to take shelter of the Lord. Which goes to show the symptom of forgetfulness in this world. The greatest curse in this world is forgetfulness of Krishna. There is no greater curse. So, by reciting pastimes like this, we can understand how, when there is danger, one should know, no one in this world is competent to offer us protection. Like this, Yamaraj said this beautiful verse, Sarakshita Rakshati Yohi Garbe. I am a small boy, but I am being protected by that Supreme Lord, very same Supreme Lord who protects the child in the womb. Of course, here Yamaraj is just saying that the child is protected in the womb. But in the case of Parikshit, he was actually protected by the Lord in the womb. You will see that. Lord himself took the gada in his hand and whirling the mace in his hand, the Lord was circumambulating the Parikshita around the womb, in the Uttara's womb. Lord entered the Uttara's womb and the Lord protected, circumambulated and he protected. So that the child will not be destroyed. This was even more true for Parikshit Maharaj. Although it is in the general sense true for every living being. All of us in the womb, how our body is formed, how the eyes formed, the ears formed, the mouth formed, hand, legs formed. So we have to think about these things very deeply. So at that time, who offered protection? Generally the parents think, now we will protect the child, once child is born. They offer protection in various different ways. If it is cold winter, they put a thick blanket. If it is heat of the summer, they have air conditioned room and everything. But while we were in the womb, who protected us? There was no mother and father. Lord is the only father who protects us. So one has to understand this aspect of Krishna about Lord being the supreme father and protector at all circumstances. This remembrance of Lord as the protector will also help one to remember him at the time of dangers and at the time of death also. Hare Krishna. Grantrat Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki. Thank you very much.